So John 1, beginning at verse 1, John speaks of God's eternal Son come to dwell amongst us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, a very warm welcome to everyone from me. My name's Sam, and I'm the minister for Trinity at 4. We usually meet every Sunday at 4 o'clock down at Christchurch, which gives us a bit more space for all of the kids that we've got coming along as well. But we are just thrilled to be back here at Holy Trinity for Christmas. And I don't know if this last year has felt like this to you, but hasn't it been a bit like one of those snow globes? And you know how they work. You kind of shake it up and then the snow kind of erupts up. And there we all are just waiting for things to settle down. And I don't know what it feels like is swirling around for you, whether it's a family life or work life. Maybe you've changed job or changed working patterns. Maybe it's your emotional or mental health. You're just waiting for things to settle. And just when you feel like they're beginning to settle, it gets shaken up again. And when life feels like a snow globe, you desperately start looking for somewhere solid to stand, somewhere where you can stand without things moving. I don't know, maybe it's not a snow globe. Maybe life feels more like one of those Christmas jigsaws. I don't know if you're, who here does a Christmas jigsaw? Okay, a few stalwart Christmas jigsaws out there. So here's our Christmas jigsaw. And you know what it's like? You kind of empty out all the pieces, but then try doing a Christmas jigsaw without the picture. And there you've got the, you've got that little bit there, that bit there. Maybe you piece together a bit of the picture there. But how do the bits relate to each other? How does it make sense? Without the bigger picture, it's basically impossible to know. And sometimes life can feel like that. And I've got that little bit of my life, the family stuff here. Then I've got my aspirations, my career. I've got, you know, maybe my hopes, my regrets. But is there a bigger picture into which all of these things actually fit and make sense? Or is it just a series of incoherent things that I try and make the most of? And I don't know, maybe sometimes your life feels a bit like that. A Christmas jigsaw without a big picture, and you're just trying to make sense of things as best as you can. Well, whether life has felt more like the snow globe or more like the Christmas jigsaw without the picture on the front, John, the gospel writer who writes this account of Jesus' life, he comes with refreshingly good news for us. Did you see the first line that he says? He says, "In the beginning was the Word." And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling. That meant he came to live among us. In the beginning, the Word. And when he says Word, the original language, it's the word logos, which is where we get our word logic from. In other words, John is saying, look, as he starts his account of Jesus' life, he says, I want to introduce you all to someone who makes sense of everything. Okay, someone who creates coherence and purpose and logic to everything in life. If you like, someone who is the picture that gives coherence to all the different parts of our lives, the logos, the word become flesh. Other gospel writers, of course, focus on the events of Christmas, the stable and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels. But John wants to lift our eyes beyond the events of Christmas and help us to grasp something of the cosmic significance of the birth of that child 2,000 years ago. Significance that stretches across every person on the planet and stretches into the life of every person here, if you will engage with Jesus and come to understand that significance for yourself. And if we are to understand the mind-blowing significance of Jesus, then John, in this little introduction to his life, wants us to understand three things about him: who he is, what he's like, and what he offers us. Who he is, what he's like, and what he offers us. So have a look at the reading then. And you'll see there it begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Okay, those words, in the beginning, they echo back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in that account there, God speaks a word, and the process of creation gets going. And John, the gospel writer, says, look, that word that created the heavens and the earth has become flesh, has been born among us. Who is he? He's the one who created everything. Now, that's easy for us to say, hard for us to get our minds around. So just to help us, I want us to imagine a few things. Okay, imagine that this is the earth. Okay, now the earth is a pretty massive place. Okay, my kids asked me just yesterday, how long does it take to walk around the earth? Apparently, if you go at an average of 3 miles an hour, it's 342 days to walk. That's an average, never stopping. It's enormous, okay? The crust of the earth, by my estimations, is pretty big, right? From Mount Everest all the way down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. And yet, at this scale, it would be the thickness of a postage stamp put on top. It's an enormous place, is our world. And yet, of course, we know that the Earth, compared to the other planets in our solar system, is actually quite small. So imagine now that we have shrunk our Earth down to this size. So here's the Earth. Okay, here is the planet Jupiter. Okay, that's the biggest planet in our solar system. It's absolutely enormous compared to the Earth. This is all of us right here. Here is Jupiter. But you know where I'm going with this, because actually Jupiter is quite small compared to the size of the Sun. Okay, now listen, I'm going to introduce you to something called a water bead. Those of young children may have come across these. These were basically invented to make sure that young children's bedrooms were always messy. Okay, here is a little water bead, and you can see how small that is. Now, this is our Earth. That's the scale of the Earth. And this is the Sun compared to the Earth. It's phenomenally big. 1.3 million Earths fit into a single sun. But the thing about our sun is, as great as the sun is, it's actually quite small compared to the other stars in the Milky Way. So let me tell you about Arcturus. Okay, Arcturus is one of the brightest stars in our solar system. It is 25 times bigger than our sun. So can I have two small volunteers? Okay, come on up, that's it. Well done, Mina, you come up, and Annabelle, thank you. Now I want you guys just to say, it's 25 times the radius. So if you take 25 steps in that direction, Amelia, if you take 25 steps in that direction. Okay, well done, keep counting. You've done your 25 steps about there and about there. Now imagine a ball, okay, well done, Amelia's gone out of the chair, so if you stop there. Imagine a ball as big as going from there all the way around, all the way down there, and this is still the Earth. That is Arcturus compared to our sun. But it doesn't stop there, okay? Let me tell you about Antares. Antares is 25 times bigger again. Okay, that's just a few stars in our Milky Way. And here is the Earth. Okay, guys, come back. Do you get the point? The Earth is incredibly small. Now, when John says the word, the one who created Arcturus and Antares, just imagine it became flesh, was born as a human being on a tiny planet, Earth. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? You know, they say that we live in a heads-down generation. And you know what I mean by heads down generation, because there we all are just plodding around with our heads down the whole time, scrolling through our newsfeed or whatever. And John says, look, just lift your heads up. And just, doesn't it grow a bit of humility when you realize the vast scale of everything? And a bit of wonder when you think, well, if that's Arcturus, imagine the power and majesty of the one who spoke a word and all of it came into existence. Amazing. And the wonder therefore of verse 14 in our reading, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Amazing, the one who spoke Arcturus into existence became a tiny little child, grew up as a Jewish boy, a Palestinian peasant under Roman occupation. Well, that's where John begins. Okay, he begins by saying, yes, there is logic and coherence to our world because you know what? It's been created. It's not random. And that creator has come into our world so that we can know what he's like. That's the first question. Who is this word? He's the creator of everything. Second question, what's he like? And you see there in verse number 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, what is he like? There has been a lot of movement this last year, hasn't there? Like people moving into new places, people moving into new jobs. And you know what it's like when you get a new neighbor? It's like, oh my goodness, what are they going to be like? Okay, are they going to be as bad as the last neighbors or as good as the last neighbors? What are they going to be like? But what about God? When God moves in, what's he like? And can you see what John the Gospel writer says? He says, we have seen his glory. He saw Jesus face to face. And he's written this eyewitness account for us. And how does he sum him up? He says, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Okay, so this word made flesh, the one who made the cosmos, he is full of grace. Okay, now grace just means undeserved kindness. And it's amazing when you read an account of Jesus' life, it's exactly what you see. Whenever he's confronted with suffering, he cannot help but go out in compassion. He is so good. Now, most of us know the right thing to do when we're met with need. We know that we should offer help, but we have to be honest, it doesn't actually come very naturally to us. But for Jesus, it was always totally natural. It's just who he was. So if you feel a bit broken by the last 18 months, if you feel a bit vulnerable and a bit unlovable perhaps, well, Jesus is full of grace for you. But he's also full of truth, grace and truth. You see, if Jesus is who John claims, the creator of everything, then he knows a thing or two about this world and what its purpose is and how we should live in it. And everything he says is 100% trustworthy. Isn't that so refreshing? In a world where we find it so hard to know who to trust and what to trust. You don't need me to tell you that there's like a deficit of trust in the world at the moment. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. But if I said, you know, who trusts the government completely? I don't know. Who trusts the BBC completely? Who trusts Facebook? Who trusts the church? I mean, all these institutions have let us down. They've shown themselves to be not trustworthy. And it's so easy to become cynical. But actually, the answer to living in a world full of falsehood is not cynicism. That just hollows us out. The answer is truth. And that's what we get with Jesus, full of grace and truth. He knows the truth about who I am, how I should live, why I'm here. Solid truth you can build your life on. That's what he's like, full of grace and full of truth. In a world full of identity politics and cancel culture, don't we need both of those things, grace and truth? Who he is, what he's like, and just as we finish, what does he offer us? What does he offer us? Well, John the writer goes on to say, after verse 14, he says, from the fullness of his grace, we have received grace after grace. For Jesus Christ came to offer grace and truth. You see, what does he offer? He offers us grace and he offers us truth. I think for me, one of the most kind of striking images of the last few weeks was that picture of Angela Stratton. Do you remember after that now infamous video and that picture of utter brokenness as she confronted the world's media, the nation's media. And she said, I will regret those comments for the rest of my life. And it's not just her who has regrets that she will hold for the rest of her life. And yet Jesus offers us grace. Okay, with Jesus, you will never be hung out to dry. You'll never be publicly humiliated for the mistakes that you've made, the things you've done wrong, because Jesus was hung out to dry and publicly humiliated for you. When he died on the cross, that was the whole point. He took your place so that you can have grace, undeserved kindness. Whatever you've done, that's what the God of the universe came down to offer, full of grace for you, but also truth. Truth to build your life on. Okay, the picture that makes sense of the puzzle of your life. A compass for the snowstorms that we sometimes have to navigate. And so we finish again with John's invitation. As he says to all of us today, let me introduce you to someone who makes sense of everything. Okay, the God of the universe, the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth for you. And the offer actually of a relationship as you get to know the maker of the universe and get to be shaped by his grace and his truth in your own life as well. And so it's as if Jesus has an invitation for all of us today. And he says this, he says, with me, you will find grace to rest your heart in and truth to build your life on. So will you receive me? I've come for you full of grace and truth. But let's have just a few moments of quiet to reflect on anything from God's word that has struck us today. And then I've just got a few more things to say to close before we hear a solo.